brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So I hear voices, lots of voices, voices all around me in the world and voices within my own heart and mind, voices everywhere. Sometimes a symphony of sounds, sometimes a cacophony of noises. All sorts of voices telling me all sorts of things. Friends and family and colleagues telling me what's going on in their lives, what's going wrong in their lives. News outlets and social media telling me what I should get angry or upset about. Podcasts telling me what the truth is. Commercials telling me what I should buy or buy into. Politicians and experts telling me what I should believe or who I should follow. My own inner dialogue telling me what I should think about myself and others. And my own thoughts telling me everything is going wrong. It's all falling apart. Well, we're certainly surrounded by a lot of voices. Our ears are bombarded with sounds and noises. In all the noise, it can be hard to distinguish the good voices from the bad, the helpful from the unhelpful, the truth from lies. Some voices have an agenda behind their words. Some voices are laced with words meant to harm. Some are simply naive or incorrect. And some voices are silent, not saying anything when they should. Voices clash and collide, or sometimes we only seek the voices that reinforce what we already think and believe, hearing only what we want to hear instead of perhaps what we need to hear. Misunderstanding, miscommunication, and missed opportunities abound in all the voices that enter our ears. We live in a wilderness of noise. The clamor of competing voices can be deafening. But the competition of voices isn't anything new. In the era of the New Testament, for example, there were a lot of competing voices. By the time John the Baptist appeared on the stage, there were four primary religious and political factions among the Jews: the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Zealots. Each of these groups voiced their own thoughts and beliefs concerning the people of Israel. But there were also several foreign voices. The Greeks had influenced much of the region, having conquered it several centuries prior. King Herod was a Gentile voice ruling over much of the area. And now the Romans had asserted their strong, imperialistic, militaristic voice over the Jews. But what was probably more disconcerting for the Jews was not the clamor of all of these voices, but the silence of God's voice. By this time, God had not spoken to his people through the voice of a prophet for nearly 400 years. Silence amidst all the noise. The people of Israel also lived in a wilderness of noise. But into this wilderness breaks the voice of our gospel reading for today. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. The Old Testament had prophesied the coming of a prophet, the one who would cry out in the wilderness. This prophet, John the Baptist, appeared in the wilderness and cried out, prepare the way of the Lord. A new voice among the many voices. Now, when listening to a voice, we often need to consider the source of that voice to determine whether or not the message is true or helpful. Who is the speaker? What are this person's credentials? What is this person saying? Is this person trustworthy? Well, when we consider John the Baptist as a source, when we check out his credentials, we find a strange voice with a strange message. Mark tells us that John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. This strange voice had a strange appearance, and he's doing strange things. He's baptizing and preaching out there in the Judean desert, in the wilderness. And the content of his preaching is also strange. Here in Mark, he proclaims, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And elsewhere in the Gospels, John preaches other strange things. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The one who is coming will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Talk about some intense preaching. This strange voice is certainly saying some strange things. But John the Baptist knew who he was. He knew he was the one the Old Testament described as the messenger and the voice crying out in the wilderness that would prepare the way of the Lord. As a prophet, he had a foot in both the Old and New Testaments. His voice bridged the two Testaments together. And John knew his ministry would usher in the Messiah that God would send to Israel. He knew his ministry was to prepare people for the Messiah's arrival through his preaching and his baptism of repentance. And people heard his voice and came from all over to hear him preach, to confess their sins, and be baptized by him. And the day that John baptized Jesus, it was his voice that identified Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He recognized Jesus to be the Messiah and voiced this truth to his followers. So this messenger, this voice of one crying out in the wilderness, did in fact prepare the way of the Lord. Many people listened to John's voice and were baptized and repented of their sins. Their hearts were made ready through John's voice for the coming of the Messiah. However, there were many who heard John's voice but refused to listen to it. He called Israel's religious leaders a brood of vipers because of their self-righteousness and lack of faith. And he called out King Herod for his sexual sin, for committing adultery by marrying his brother's wife. And because he proclaimed God's law to Herod, because he voiced the truth to the king, John ended up in another wilderness, the wilderness of Herod's prison. John was exiled to this wilderness for proclaiming God's word, for being God's voice to the people. By putting him in prison, Herod hoped to silence John's voice. And while suffering in prison, John needed to hear God's voice. He sent some of his followers to ask Jesus if he really was the Messiah, the one who is to come. And Jesus responded with the assurance that he was, in fact, the Messiah. In the wilderness of his jail cell, Jesus told John, through the voices of his followers, exactly what he needed to hear. Jesus reassured John that what he had been preaching out in the desert, what he had been doing out in the wilderness, was not wasted. The voice of Jesus comforted and spoke tenderly to the one who was the voice in the wilderness. Jesus affirmed John's identity as the greatest prophet, the prophet who would prepare the way of the Lord. For out in the wilderness, John's voice really was the voice of Yahweh, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to the people of Israel. I have up here a picture of the Judean desert looking at the Jordan River Valley. For it's often in the wilderness like this up here, that God speaks to his people. There's a biblical pattern of God leading his people into and through the wilderness. God brought the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt to the land of Canaan. He freed them by leading them through the waters of the Red Sea, destroying those who enslaved them. But before they entered the promised land, prior to receiving their inheritance, they rebelled against God, refusing to trust him. God therefore punished them by sending them into the wilderness for 40 years. And during this time in the wilderness, the Israelites heard many voices other than God's voice. They listened to their own grumbling and complaining. They heard the voices of fear and insurrection. They paid attention to the voices of false gods, blasphemous priests, and their own sinful desires. And they even longed for the voices of their former taskmasters, the Egyptians. But even in the midst of all these competing voices, Yahweh continued to speak to them. He constantly reminded them that he was their God and they were his people. He was the God of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who had given them great promises and was faithful to these promises. And while punishing them, God didn't forsake the Israelites in the wilderness. He led them with the voices of his prophet Moses and high priest Aaron. He guided them along their way, providing for their needs, sustaining them with water and manna and quail. And after 40 years of discipline and instruction, Yahweh led them out into the wilderness, into Canaan, the land promised to them. But Jesus also spent time in the wilderness. He went to the Judean desert to find John. And Jesus entered the waters of the Jordan River to be baptized by him. And at his baptism, the Father spoke to Jesus, declaring him to be his Son in whom he is well pleased. Immediately after his baptism, Jesus was led into the wilderness for 40 days, fasting the whole time. During this time, Jesus heard voices. He heard the voice of his own hunger, and he heard Satan's voice, tempting him to disobey his Father and reject his identity as the Son of God. But unlike the children of Israel, Jesus didn't sin. He didn't listen to these other voices. He listened only to the voice of his Father, who sustained him as he wandered and fasted in the wilderness. Jesus was sustained by the word of God, by God's voice. And Jesus then returned to the land of Israel and began his ministry, ushering in the promised kingdom of God through his preaching, teaching, forgiveness, and healing. Through the ministry of Jesus, the new creation, the kingdom of heaven, was breaking into this world. And we, too, have our own wilderness experiences. God brought us through the waters of the Red Sea when we were baptized, also freeing us from slavery to Egypt, that is, freeing us from slavery to sin and our sinful nature. At our baptism, the Father spoke to us, words that claimed us as his children, children in whom he is well pleased because of Jesus. And since then, since the day we were united to Jesus in faith, we've been wandering in the wilderness of life. Often it's obvious that this life is a desert, a harsh landscape filled with dangers. But sometimes the wilderness provides an oasis for us. Sometimes the wilderness feels more like a resort. But regardless of where we find ourselves, regardless of how rough or easy this life is, it remains a wilderness. We haven't yet entered the promised land. For the Christian, this life isn't all there is. We haven't yet arrived at the new creation. And so we're wandering. And as we wander, through this wilderness, we hear voices. There are voices of fear and anxiety, resentment, voices tempting us to sin, voices justifying our sin, voices convincing us that we know better than God. There are voices that doubt the goodness of our Heavenly Father and lead us away from Christ. And all these voices are competing against the one true voice of God, voices that all result in taking our eyes off of Jesus. But this isn't anything new. Since the Garden of Eden, Satan has whispered or shouted his own voice against the voice of God. In the garden, he simply asked Adam and Eve, "Did God actually say?" leading the two to doubt God and rebel against him. And ever since then, Satan introduces discord and disharmony into creation with his voice. Because behind all the competing voices that we hear of temptation and anxiety and fear and sin is Satan's voice whispering, "Did God actually say?" So we wander through the wilderness of life. And as we wander, we are bombarded with Satan's deceiving voice. But like the Israelites before us, like Jesus in the wilderness, God hasn't forsaken us in the wilderness. In the midst of the sea of voices that we're constantly flooded with, God speaks his truthful and loving voice to us. This is the same voice that declared to Adam and Eve that he would crush the head of Satan. The same voice reassuring his people to be still and know that he is God. The same voice that cried out to the prophet Isaiah, "Comfort, comfort," to his people, speaking tenderly to them, pardoning them of their sins. This voice continued to speak through the voice of Jesus, a voice that declared God so loves the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So as we wander through the wilderness, God continues to speak to us, reminding us that we are, in fact, his children, that he's washed us clean with Jesus' blood, that through Jesus' death and resurrection, he saved us from sin, death, and the devil. Christ sustains us with his words. Words like, "I therefore forgive you of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And words like, "Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood given for you." Through his voice, Jesus is leading you, guiding you, reassuring you, and comforting you as you wander through this wilderness. But there will be a day when you finally enter into the promised land, into the new creation, when Christ returns and raises you and all believers from the dead. You will not always be in the wilderness. Until then, keep listening to the voice of Jesus, the voice of truth, love, forgiveness, and life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.